Thank y'all for that wonderful song. I don't know, I can only speak for me, but you give me about three more times with that, and then I'm going to be a whole lot better at singing that. So I would love to hear that more often, because it's a beautiful song. Thanks for bringing that this morning. I do want to invite y'all into a gospel reading. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to start at verse 14, continue through verse 30. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the Message Translation. You do not have to follow along in that translation. You can follow along in your own favorite, what you like. But Matthew 25, starting at verse 14, if you'd like to, you can pay attention to the screens and you will see this in Matthew 25. And this is the story. This is the exact story that I was alluding to with the children this morning. It is also like a man, this is Jesus, it is also like a man who is going off on an extended trip. And this man called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave $5,000, to another, $2,000, and to a third, $1,000, depending on their abilities. And then he left. And right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. And the second did the same. But the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. And after a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. And the one, given $5,000, showed him how he had doubled his investment. And his master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. And the servant with the 2,000 showed how he also had doubled his master's investment. And his master commanded him, he said, good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. And the servant, given 1,000, said, master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. And I was afraid I might disappoint you. So I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the very last cent. The master was furious. It's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously. Like that, if you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into utter darkness. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Everlasting God, we do give you thanks for not only these words that you're speaking in the midst of our hearts and our minds and our souls this morning, but Lord, we give you thanks for every word that you speak to us. We thank you, O God, that you find us in those quiet places. We thank you, O God, that you give us the perfect word in those moments when we feel so alone, we feel isolated. Most importantly, we thank you, O God, for the words that come to life when we're able to gather together. The words that come to life in the midst of worship. And that's what we pray, O God, this morning. We pray that your words will truly give us life. Lord, may our hearts, as we meditate upon these words, may they be open to the leading and the direction of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. And I pray and ask that as I preach this morning, the words that I share, that they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. I will say that it has been, and you've already heard this a couple of times, but it has been kind of a unique week for us here at Grace Point. We have had 2 weeks that are here that have been a little bit different than what normally happens in 2 weeks. Last Saturday, we hosted a chili cook-off. It was the Mount Olive Chili Cook-Off. We did those things like blocking off to blocking off that section of the road. So what I'm doing is I'm pointing to the right. It's just right over there. That we're blocking off, you know, part of the road where we're thinking about all those issues we may have with traffic and all that other stuff like that. But we had, and we were able to host a wonderful chili cook-off, had wonderful participation, had wonderful volunteers that were made sure that as the one who was responsible for making sure that cars got in and out, that no one got hit, no one got run over. So those are the two things that we have. But also last night we had a gospel singing where there were four groups. There were four groups, and you would not believe, four groups that had a whole lot more instruments on this platform than what you're seeing this morning, a whole lot more speakers and a whole lot more wires that were all around this space that you were not seeing this morning that was there. But in a conservative estimate, in a conservative way of looking at it, it is not unfair to say that over these past 14 days, over these past 2 weeks, that we have had, in a conservative estimate, we've had a little bit over 400 people that have walked through here, that have come through here, that have been part of everything that is around Grace Point. Not to mention, as of last night, we had three tour buses. So that is what happened. But a few weeks ago, had a conversation that was both exciting and challenging. How many of you have ever had those conversations that, you know, they make you so excited, but then you all of a sudden realize, oh, but there's also a lot of work that you're going to have to do. No matter how excited you are, that there's some things that you're going to have to do. Well, this conversation that I had was with another pastor, but as a pastor that has some extraordinary gifts, with around church renewal, even new church plants, but primarily around church renewal, some unique talents and unique gifts. And what we were doing is, it was her first time. It was her first time to come out to Grace Point and to see Grace Point. And the exciting part was for you, many of you who are here in the room, not necessarily everyone who's online, but many of you that are here this morning, that the space that you walked through, to come into the sanctuary this morning, not to mention this space, but the space that you walked through, she absolutely loved. And was even taking pictures and said, I've got the coffee. If any of you grabbed a cup of coffee, the kids' area, if any of you, you know, have looked at the kids' area lately, those places, she immediately took pictures and said, I've got to share this. She said, some other folks need to see this. And again, one of the primary things that she does, it's really, really does. She's got these unique gifts and talents for church renewal and what church renewal looks like. And that's the exciting part, but there's also a challenging part. And that is, as we were walking just right across over at the gym, all those empty classrooms that are on the second floor of the gym, all that green space that is around us, and if you have not done it this morning, if you have not taken a moment just to look at all the green, all the buds, all the blossoms that are around Grace Point today, take a minute when you do leave this morning to notice, because it is just coming to life. But she asked me, she said, with all this space, the green space that's around you, with those empty classrooms, she says, what are y'all doing with this? The challenging part, the much harder part. This story that you heard me sharing with the children, that you have heard alluded to through many of our songs this morning, that you've heard this morning, this story about these people and their talents, our scripture today, the story that Jesus tells in Matthew 25, is an extraordinarily exciting story, and I hope that you were able to be drawn into the excitement of that story. But it is also challenging. Is there also a challenging part of this story? It's exciting because this is a story about generosity. I mean, at its very essence, it is a story about the generosity of a master to his servants. But it's also challenging because we know that the story is about us. And we know that we don't want to admit that it's about us, but we know that when we read Matthew 25, and when those words do what God has promised, that when those words begin to stir in our hearts, that when the Holy Spirit begins to nudge us from those words, we know We know that this is really a story about us. It's a story that, because in this story, we recognize that the one who gets five talents, we recognize that the one who gets two talents, we recognize that the one who gets one talent, that first of all, that those who invest the talent, the one who gets the five talents, the one who gets the two talents, we know from the very beginning that as they invest those talents, that they risk, they multiply. And then we also know that the third one panics. The third one plays it safe. In fact, Jesus is very intentional about this because he says, the third one, he digs a hole, he buries the talent that the master had given him. And when the master returns, the issue is not that this man failed with his talent. The issue is that he never tried. And so when we look at ourselves, and when we're really honest with ourselves, we find that there's parts of every single one of us, that there's parts of all of us, that we are a lot like this third servant sometimes. Well, we bury our talents. Well, we may bury our talents and the talent that God has given us. We may bury it under a load of being just too busy. I just don't have the time to get to my talent. We may bury our own creativity under this mounting distraction that seems to have no end. Or you may even bury a brand new calling that God is giving us under the comfort. The comfort of what we've always known, the comfort of what we've always done. And all the while, we're able to justify it to ourselves. We're able to justify it to ourselves because, you know, we're not getting too far out on a limb. We're not going too far. We're just being responsible. But if we lean into what is an extraordinarily challenging aspect of the scripture, if we lean into it, we find that it's not just about responsibility, but in fact, it's about fear. And we get to see as Jesus is inviting us to observe those who have been given these talents, the five talents, the two talents, and even the one talent, we get to see what fear can actually do. According to researchers, there's a great deal of research that has been done around fear and what fear has the capacity to do. Brené Brown is one in particular. She's a social worker who spends a tremendous amount of time researching shame, has really spent, and in fact spent years researching shame and vulnerability and what shame and vulnerability do in our lives. And she says this, she says that creativity is a function of being human. It's not unlike what Jesus says about all of us, that creativity is a function of being human. There are simply those who use their creativity and people who do not. And here's the really hard news. Unused creativity is not benign, does not dissipate, it metastasizes. And unused creativity will turn into rage, into grief, into shame, and into judgment. And so one of the extraordinarily interesting things about that, and again, that's Brené Brown. She writes that in The Power of Vulnerability. But in other words, that when we bury our talent, that when we bury the talent that God has given us, that when we bury the creativity that God has put into us, it doesn't just sit there quietly. That's what I think is so extraordinarily helpful for people who actually take a look at what the consequences of not using our talent does in our lives, that if we bury that talent, it doesn't just sit there quietly. It turns into anxiety. It turns into this kind of anxiety, this kind of panic that gets a hold of us and won't let us go. It turns into this comparison. Some other people will even talk about this comparison trap that seems to keep going on and on, but it turns out to burnout. And that nagging feeling that you were meant for so much more. How many of you does this ring true to you? Does this kind of sound familiar? Another psychologist, his name is Adam Grant, and he talks about languishing. Languishing is that, and he describes it. He says languishing is that in-between state when you're not burned out, but you're not thriving either. That idea of feeling stuck, where you're not falling apart, but you're also not flourishing either. And both of them are able to point to us and point and say, this is what happens in all of our lives. We have that talent that is buried in our lives. You see, in this story, Jesus does not intend for anyone to operate in fear. In fact, you will hear Jesus with his own disciples over and over saying, fear not, do not be afraid, fear not, do not be afraid. And in fact, this story reminds us of how dangerous it can be when we isolate ourselves, when we withdraw. You notice in these gifts and in these talents, you notice that those who multiply their talents, they engage. They step into systems. They step into the very systems of exchange, of risk, and growth. And what does this mean? That our callings. It means also that your calling that comes from God, it doesn't grow in isolation. Callings, in fact, grow in proximity. They grow in proximity to each other, to people. They grow in proximity to purpose. They grow in proximity to possibilities. And this is where everything really begins to change. Did you see that the master does not reward comfort? Noticing in the story that Jesus is telling that the master does not reward comfort. He rewards courage. Not perfection, but participation. Even moving into the unknown, even coming into the unknown. The first two servants, if we're quite honest, and if we really slowly read this section of Scripture, the first two servants, they don't know what's going to happen. They just knew. They just knew that doing nothing wasn't an option. And this is the invitation to you. Not to have it all figured out, but to start burying what God has given you. To stop burying that talent that God has given you. To stop digging holes. To stop burying your ideas, your creativity, your calling. Because the truth is, the master doesn't ask for perfection. But what God is really asking for is for faithfulness from all of us. You see, in this story, the question is never, do you have talent? Because we all do. Every single one of us has talent. And so the question is never about, do you have talent? The question that Jesus raises, the question Jesus asks is that, will you bury your talent or will you build something with it? There was right here in this space right last night that someone who gave an extraordinary testimony that stood about right here and said, you know, there was a time just a few weeks ago, there was a time not long ago that I wasn't feeling like I could do this again. And God told me I could. It's the story that Jesus is inviting us to imagine. It's the story that Jesus is inviting us into. Imagine Grace Point. Imagine Grace Point being that church, being that very place where buried talents come to life, where creativity is on full display every time that we come together. Imagine people discovering their talents for the very first time. You know, last week, not in here, because, and I don't know with our trustees, I don't know if this is a rule, but if it's not, it should be. I don't know if we allow basketballs to be thrown in the sanctuary. Like I said, I don't know if that's an actual rule that's there. I hope you do allow baseball gloves and tennis balls to come into the sanctuary. Because if not, I'm in trouble with the trustees too. But it was just this past week. Not in this space, but right over there in our gym. It was in this past week where there were a group of girls that were in our gym. And they were lining up and they were making free throws. They were lining up and they were taking free throw shots. And you know that. Lining up to make free throws. Those places where you walk up to the line and that place where your team supports you, but you are there and you just do it. And you stand at that foul line and you make one shot, you make another shot, and you make it one right after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. the travel basketball team, and they're practicing. And you do it over and over and over again. What if Grace Point is the place where no talent is buried? Where that's what we are practicing. Where we are practicing making sure that no talent is buried, that every talent that God has given is it's uncovered. Whether it's in the gym making shots, or even in empty classrooms that are upstairs, or even in that extraordinary green space that is surrounding all of us right now. So one of the things that I absolutely love about this sanctuary is that there are windows that are here. Windows where light and even parts of nature come through. And so if you have not, again, if you have not had a chance to notice what's blossoming and what's blooming, take notice, because it's all around you this morning. Is it going to be all around you this morning? Yeah. May mess with your sinus a little bit, but this morning it's worth it. But imagine this being a space where buried talents come to life. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the many ways that you have created us. We thank you, O God, for the talent that you have given to every single one of us. And we pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that in our own minds and in our own midst, Lord, when we get confused, and in our own places, Lord, where we are, well, too fearful, pray and ask that in this moment that you will let that dissipate, that you will let all that fearfulness just leave from all of us. Let us not only sense the talent that you have created in every single one of us, but let us, in the name of Jesus, no longer bury those talents. But let us allow them to be on full display. And in Jesus' name, O Lord, may our church, may Grace Point be a place where talents are uncovered. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.